Hallelujah. So we have a privilege of standing before you, which is a humble privilege that I appreciate from the bishop that he assigns me to come and minister to you today. Hallelujah. As he has indicated that the theme on the strong will was a two-part series. So today we are getting a new topic, and the topic is the value of the soul. Yes, the value of a soul. Hallelujah. Amen. Stand to your neighbor, say, neighbor,
your soul
is valuable before God. The main text is Mark chapter 8, verse 36 and 37. Mark chapter 8, verse 36 and 37 in the King James Version reads as follows. It says, For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Verse 37 says, or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? The NIV says, what good will it be for a man if he gains the whole world yet forfeits his soul? Or what can a man give in exchange for his soul? You know, it is very interesting that Jesus Christ is juxtaposing the soul against the whole world. Not against part of the world, not against a section of the world, not against the peace of the world, but against the whole world. He's saying it is you against the world. He says even the world in its totality cannot be able to can be worth the soul you have. Because when you gain the whole world and lose your soul, you have lost everything, he says. But I want to say, Bazalana, this scripture does not say that our achievement in life is meaningless. It is not saying that when you are rich, therefore it is meaningless. Yeah. It is not saying that we should live a mediocrity life. We should live an under-challenged life or a purposeless life. That's not what the scripture is saying. This scripture is saying that we need to learn to put everything within the context and view it from the perspective of God. That God being in the center of things, your soul is much more valuable to what you have. That if you are to get all of the material you have, even if you are to be a trillionaire, it will never be able to meet the worth of your soul. Hallelujah. Amen. So many of us today, you know, are misled sometimes by religion to think that we just need to sit by and let go and life go without us pressing for a higher calling or pressing for the mark in Christ. We need to understand that the value of the soul cannot be equated with every valuable things on earth. No money, no power, no status, no fame and achievement can be worth your soul. Can it be worth your soul? The worth of your soul far exceeds all material conditions. So, your soul is valued by God. It has to be seen from a perspective of the currency of God. All right? The currency of God is not the same currency as we have. You see, the world tells you that you should have, but the system of God says you should give. The system of the world says that you should accumulate. The system of God says you should sacrifice. So those are contradictory ways of doing things. So therefore, we need to take and look at it from the goggles, from the perspective of God, from a view of a biblical view. Hallelujah. Amen. So what is this thing that God is holding so much in high esteem, which is called a soul? See, when you read the Bible in the Old Testament and the New Testament, you find that the soul is used in various ways. All right? It's used in various ways. The Bible is written in Aramaic and Hebrew and Greek. The Old Testament is largely Aramaic and Hebrew, especially Hebrew. All right, and the New Testament is solely written in Greek. So there's a two perspective And you find the debate going on amongst theologians against a dichotomy or trichotomy. Dichotomy says that a person has a body and a soul, all right? There are those who say you are a soul. There are those who say you are a body and a soul. And then there's what is called trichotomy, where it says you are a spirit being having a soul and living in a body. All right. So depending on where and in the scripture do you read it, you find that it has those kind of differences. So we're using here the soul interchangeably as a spirit. Hallelujah. So the soul, when you look at it from the trichotomy, which says that you have a soul, in that soul it says you have a will, you have a mind, and you have emotions. All right. So that's the use of the word soul there. It means the will, the mind, and the emotions. In Acts chapter 14, verse 22, it says, strengthening the souls of the disciples, exhorting them to continue in the faith, and saying we must, through many tribulations, enter the kingdom of God. It says there, strengthening the souls of the disciples. And why? Because they are confronted with tribulations. So you can see there, it is a definition that encapsulates emotions. It covers the emotions. Hallelujah. So when you look at Ephesians chapter 6, verses 6, it says, not with eye service, as men pleasers, but as bond servant of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. Doing the will of God from the heart. Therefore, you look at that. The soul, therefore, is used there as an attitude of service towards God. An attitude of service towards God. That God, when he looks at the work that you do, when you look at the service that you do, he does not only look at what it manifests to, he looks at the attitude in which you do it. There are those people who knows how to position themselves. All right, they are absent 80% of the time, but they know how to appear when the boss is around. You know that? That's why the Bible says here, note what it says. It says that not with eye service. Not with eye service. But here, it's an attitude of service towards God. All right? So when we come to Mark 38, 36, the use of the soul there refers to life. He refers to life. Okay? He refers to life. This is taken from the definition of the soul in Greek, which is psuche. Psuche refers to the breath of life. All right? Or where that element of life, which when it comes from the body, the death enters. You know that part? Where the element of, it's an element of life, where when you take that element, that life out, the death enters. Or whatever you can do, this part, it is what gives the vitality, life to the vitalities of our bodies. When you take it out, then the vitality dies. That's why at points when you go to a hospital, when a person is critically injured, all right, and they put them on machines. After sometimes they call you as a family and say, look, you know what? This person is gone. What is left now is for us to switch off the machines. Why? Because without the machine, the person is gone. There is little, there is nothing you can do. Hallelujah. It is called the seat of a person's inner life. The seat of the person's inner life. Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, it says, and the Lord formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils, note, the breath of life. The breath of life. And man became a living soul. So that which makes a person a living soul is the breath of life, which is the soul that comes, that is the spirit that God gives unto you. It is not any other spirit. It is the spirit that is divine. It is the spirit when it gets into contact with your body, it produces the soul. That's why a man becomes a living soul. Hallelujah. Are we together? So I've given you three definitions. It is the emotions as in, it is the soul wherein it is part of, it is made up of the mind, the will, and the emotions. It is an attitude of service that you do but also it is the life that you have. So in this context, it is the life, that element, that immaterial thing that when you take out, death comes in, the body stops living. Why? Because it requires that life. So God created human soul, and it is what distinguishes us fully alive, being a living thing. The soul, according to our main verse, is that immaterial and non-physical aspect of your person. There's a debate that other people have around the issue of the soul. You know, there are those who argue that the soul can only be found in man. Others say even the animal have an aspect of it. But to us, we know that we have a soul. The soul, it is what majorly controls us as compared to the animals. Yes, we have instinct, but the instinct is only a lesser percentage of who we are. The large percentage of who we are is the soul. It is that incorruptible part of our lives, that immaterial part of our life. We cannot see it, but it is vital. When it gets out of the person loses their lives. Hallelujah. So that is what we are talking about. We are talking about the souls. So why is it that God, why is it that Jesus Christ holds up this thing and says this is much more valuable than any, plus all the material conditions combined? It cannot be compared. It is important. So let's look at some of the reasons why it is so valuable. A soul is valuable because it bears the image of God. It bears the image of God. Genesis chapter 1 verse 26 says, let us make man in our own image and in our own likeness. It is very interesting that everything else, God calls it out of the earth. He calls it out of the earth. It is the animals, he says, let them come. It is the plants, he says, let us come. Let them come. But when it came to me and you, he says, let us make man in our own image. The only thing that comes from the earth is the physical part. It is the body. All right. So it is the body. It needed to for God to breathe the breath of life for it to come alive. All right. Isaiah 42 verse 1, I add on that. It says, behold, my servant whom I uphold. Note, my elected one in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice to the Gentiles. We are the spirit being. We are being made out of the image of God. The spirit that we have is the spirit that God delights in us. So when he looks at you, he does not look at your physics, physicality. You might be beautiful, well-built, but God does not look. He passes that. Your body is like a bottle of Coca-Cola. God passes that. He looks at the heart. Are you with me, Bazalan? That's why when he sent Samuel to go and anoint the king, someone looked at the body. God says, nah. Well, now you are looking at it from a different perspective. Now I want more. Are you with me, Bazalan? So he looks at that. Why? Because you bear the image. So the image that we have is not physical. It is not physical. It is the soul and the spirit. But why is it that we make so much fuss about our physics? Our physicality. Why? Yeah? We take even insurance for it. Yeah? We take medical aid for it. Yeah? We make sure that we take care of it. What we will spend. Yeah? Ladies, how we are go clicks or go this cam or those things are your face, yeah? And they're very costly, yeah? You spend probably 2,000-3,000 rands a month on those things, yeah? Let's speak about your hair. Barkitsweda. Yeah? Chance, why? Yeah? Rekena go teaming ra pampara. Yeah? And that the thing re pampang re batlang ebe beautiful, God does not look at it. He passes by. Yeah. But I'm not saying we should not take care of our bodies. No, without your body, you cannot do the will of God. But it is just what it is, a vehicle. Yeah. A vehicle, that which is an earthen vessel. The Bible says it's an earthen vessel. Paul, when he speaks about it, says we decay outward, but we get renewed inside. But why is it that we focus on that? We spend so much time, yeah, we spend so much resources on our physique. on our physical appearance. It is important. It is part of promoting the value of excellence. But we need to always put it into perspective that it is a byproduct. The key thing here is the soul. Why? Because when you look at it sharp, when the soul is in good condition, the physical appearance becomes in good condition. But it gets to for you to be so much troubled physically for the soul to be impacted. We'll talk about it. You know, it takes much more for the body to be so sick that it affects the body, the soul. But up here, the other way around, it's easy. Once you are at a peace of mind, I tell you, once you have peace of mind, the physique follows. Hallelujah. Amen. Secondly, all souls belongs to God. Amen. All souls, I like that. Amen. Amen. All souls belongs to God. All right, let's read the scripture. It says, Ezekiel chapter 8, verse 4. Behold, all souls are mine. The soul of the Father as well as the soul of the Son is mine. But note, the soul who sins shall die. All souls belongs to God. All of them. But let's not mistake. Once the soul is sinning and start living away from God, God says it shall surely die. It is his. He does whatever he wills. That's why you see the sovereignty of God. He is not going to negotiate with you. Yes, he might say, come, let's reason together. But ultimately, he takes the ultimate decision. If you don't live according to my word, you are out. If you don't take the grace that I grant you, you are out. If you don't receive Christ as Lord and Savior, you are out. But you say, my Murimu, you are unfair. How can this loving God send people to hell? He does whatever he pleases. He's God. He's sovereign like that. Just like you. I already gave you a choice. He says, I put before you life and death. Choose. And he gives you an advice. He says, choose life. But some of us have chosen death. But no. Keep pulling back. No, keep pulling back. Have you seen that attitude? The attitude our family members. No, keep pillow back. Get a pillow away, keep a tongue at day. Marhali meets Malume. Or Papa. Or Abuti. Maro, Hamo Halimela, keep a pillow back. Especially young people. I want to say, young people, I was young like you. I didn't have that attitude, but I learned quicker. For now, it's the borrowed life. So therefore, give it to the owner. Hallelujah. Number three, it is the soul is eternal in nature. The soul is eternal in nature. Matthew 10, verse 28. Do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. But rather fear him who is able to destroy both the soul and body in hell. Both the soul and the body in hell. All right. So one thing that you know there is that not everyone can kill the soul. Why? Because the soul is immortal. It is that part of your life that will continue, the part of you that will continue to live forever and ever. The question is, where is it going to spend eternity? Is it eternity in damnation or is it eternity in the presence of God? Is it eternity in hell or is it eternity in heaven? Note, it is indestructible. The soul is indestructible. You can take a 2-ton truck and try and override the soul, it will not be distracted. You cannot destroy it. I like the following statement. The following statement says, there is no other power and circumstances that can terminate the soul. There is no other power and circumstances that can terminate the soul. I'm telling you, there's hidden secret in this statement. One is that even when you go through the deepest, deepest of the deepest depression, it will not terminate the soul. And we sometimes get there. There are people who get there where they become so depressed that it causes them physical illness. It hurts them. They feel like dying. They feel like taking up their lives. But I want to say, when you go through, if you're going through that current situation now, hold on, because that, even that depression, even that state of instability cannot terminate your soul. Amen. Therefore, hold on. The Bible says that even death in itself, the only thing it does, it separates. It does not terminate, it separates. Even if we are to die because of sickness, let us not abandon our faith. Why? Because that death cannot kill. That death cannot terminate the soul. It only separates. Are you with me, Bazalan? Yes. So there are circumstances, you know, and these circumstances, even when we get sick, either because we have a stage 4 cancer or we have experienced a fully blown AIDS or whatever, our TB is so much heavy that it's able to can cause us pain. Hold on to the unfailing love of God. Amen. Why? Because there is nothing that can separate you from His love. Amen. Even the pain. You might say, Murut, you don't understand. But I'm saying, look at this statement. That statement says that there is no circumstances. Even your poverty cannot cause you to terminate your soul. So therefore it means that some of the decisions we make because of the pain that we're currently feeling. And there's a Chinese saying that says, do not take decisions in the middle of the storm. The flip side, one of the things that we can get from this verse, it says, be afraid of one who can kill both the soul and the body. But many of us are afraid, we are so much afraid of physical death that we even go and trade our soul to retain our body. Now you can go to that, but they buy 3 years of your life. But note this, you are trading eternity for 3 years. What is the percentage of 3 years when it's compared to eternity? Because you want to live now. You want to live now. You therefore sell your soul. You sell everything. Said, look, I'd rather have my health now. I'm selling everything. You go there, they make whatever ritual for you to be alive. I'm telling you, they will not keep you alive forever. Amen. But I one thing, your soul can be saved forever. Amen. Number four, the soul is the most expensive element of your being. It is the most expensive element of your being. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18 and 19, in the Amplified Version says, for you know that you were not redeemed from your useless way of life, inherited by traditions from your forefathers. Note, perishable thing, bought with perishable things such as silver and gold. Verse 19, but you were actually purchased with the precious blood, like that of a sacrificial lamb, unblemished, spotless, priceless blood of Jesus. That you were bought. Your way of life, even the way of life of your fathers, it was not taking you anywhere. But you were bought. But no, you are not bought by silver and gold, he says. But this is more than silver and gold. Silver and gold cannot purchase your life. It cannot purchase your life. Your soul, it says. But it is bought by the precious blood of Jesus. Not only the precious blood, the precious of an unblemished, and spotless and priceless blood of Jesus. The scenario here, Bazalan, is that every year, the Jewish people, the Hebrew nation, had to go and slaughter a cow, slaughter a sheep, slaughter doves on a daily basis, sometimes on a yearly basis, to wash away their sins, to cleanse themselves, to cleanse their souls. But nothing could be able to buy their souls. Their souls needed something special, you know. And that is why when God released the children of Israel from Egypt, he says to them when they entered Canaan, do not behave like your nation, the other nations, who are actually sacrificing their children to try and get the cleansing of their soul. They did that, but they did it wrong. Why? Because the people that they were sacrificing were not perfect. They were not spotless. They were not unblemished. They had blemishes in their lives. Why? Because they were born in sin. It required to take one which is perfect, one who never sinned. It had to take Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Hallelujah. Amen. So the soul is worth more than silver and gold, we find in this verse. The other thing is that it took God's only begotten Son to leave the glorious heaven to come down and die for our souls. That is the only person who could save us. God himself to come from heaven to die for us. That's why it is the most expensive element of our being. It cost us the precious blood of Jesus Christ. That is unblemished, spotless, and priceless. You cannot put the price of on Jesus Christ. That's why when he died, darkness came during 3 o'clock. Let's say, above 40,000, about 40 degrees. Holy clear, no cloud. When he died, everything became dark. And the high priest was able to realize that indeed, this was the Son of God. He is the only one who can separate us. He is the only one who can restore us. He's the only one who can save our souls and who can redeem it. Hallelujah. Amen. So verse 37 says, what will one give in exchange for his soul? What will one give in exchange for his soul? What can a man give in exchange for his souls? The NIV puts it. The word exchange there brings in the context of a business transaction. That here is a trade. Here is the bartering. You are exchanging your soul for something else. The question is, what is it that you are exchanging it for? What is it that you are exchanging your life for? What is it that you are exchanging your soul for? You know, you look throughout history, you realize that people have sought to trade their souls for something. Even today, people are selling their soul for something. Let's look at some of those things. One, people sell their soul for earthly riches and fame. Earthly riches and fame. In their quest to obtain riches, they neglect God's service. The love of money, that causes them to stray from their faith. The love of money, that causes them to stray from their faith. That's what people do. They sell their soul just to be able to can win a tender. They sell their soul. You know, I told them in the 7 o'clock service about a colleague of mine in the SEM area. He was telling us some of the things that they experienced. That when they open those boxes, those submissions, those envelopes that are sealed, some of them, as they open them, there's so much smell that comes out. You realize that this thing has been taken somewhere. Just to win a tender. What about fame? Yeah? What about fame? That because whenever you want to win a role in whatever telenova that you want, such that you are able to can uyobofa offer, so that other people can be distracted and you alone get chosen. What have you done? You have sold yourself for fame. You have sold yourself for fame. That everyone were now abakataka in your way to the ladder. You're climbing the ladder, but there's distraction behind you. All for the sake of riches. That you build a company. When you build a company, you build a company at the expense of the people. That when your company is about to fall, there's destruction that will take generations and generations and generations to build. Why? Because where now you want to be rich. But there's nothing wrong with acquiring wealth. But there's something wrong when wealth acquires you. That's why the Bible speaks about the love of money. The second thing is that we trade ourselves when we look at it, the richest and the fame. We trade our souls for those corruptible and stolen things. On things that can be stolen. When you look at it, the things that we trade, the riches that we trade for, the fame that we trade for, it can be stolen. In no time, someone can hack into your system and take the entire profit that you've made, the entire money that you've made, and work a lafat. Or you look at it, you've invested, and you've taken everything, you've dedicated your heart, life, on all these things, the stock market breaks down. What about us or some people who have worked now looking forward to their pensions? That when they evaluate their pension, they realize that inflation has really eroded it. Yet you have dedicated your life. You have refused God. All you did was to live for your work and nothing else. And yet inflation, came on inflation. King one among inflation, and yet he comes and takes everything. Are you with me, Bazalan? Yes. So these are corruptible things. These are things that can be stolen. Just like that. Some people, when they look at it, it says life happens. Yesterday you were famous, you were happening. You were rich, you were a billionaire. All of a sudden, in no time, so combat takes. The question is, when you do all of these things, where is God? Hallelujah. Amen. Number two, others pursue pleasure of sin in exchange for their soul. Going back to the fame, in the first service I was telling them about Cliff Richard. Cliff Richard, it said that in the UK, he was the third behind Elvis Presley and the Beatles. He was the most famous guy, sold over 250 million albums. He was famous, he was rich. But in the pinnacle of his richness, he was saying, I'm dissatisfied. Nothing can please me. He went into a depression. The only person who could save him was Jesus Christ. Amen. And he surrendered his life. A famous person. Secondly, we pursue pleasure of sin in exchange of our souls. We pursue pleasure of sin. We allow the so-called, or no, it is my life. I express. I have to explore my feelings, my emotions. I'm driven by emotions. That we want to do, all we want to do is to live in a pleasureful life. It's party after party. Yeah, such that we go to extent of faking our lifestyle. How shall I go Instagram on Maldives? Yeah. Mario, you cannot afford to go to Maldives. You are behind the Eiffel Towers in Paris. But all you can afford is Paris. But all because you are pursuing pleasure. What about drinking every day? Go and go to left, right, and center. In the morning, you go to. In the afternoon, go to. Because you only account. Why? Because you want to always stay in a state of pleasure. This is where addiction comes from, Bazalwane. That we get addicted because we want to live in a state of pleasure. Whether it's eating, even when you eat so much. But no, the pleasure, the body can take so much of your pleasure that it begins to give in. Whether it's about eating, whether it's about drinking, whether it's about lust, the body cannot take more. How many of our young people get destroyed? There's something called Hubby Bubbly, which I don't know why our government is not banning that thing. You know, I was listening to one professor or medics from Vets who was saying, when you smoke a Hubby Bubbly, it's like taking your mouth, putting it on the exhaust and someone arrive. The only difference is that the smell is different. But how the destruction it does, apparently there's a ward in Para full of young people who are smoking hubbly bubbly. And in no time, at 38 years, at 35 years, at 25 years old, this guy, when they were interviewing him, he was saying, when they got to the hospital, all they did was to take an x-ray. And they told him, we're now to hubbly bubbly. They didn't ask him, do you hear me? They didn't ask him, they told him. Why? Because they've seen this thing before. All in the sake of what? Pleasure. You exchange your soul. Go ahead. Give a round of applause for the Lord. What about us ruining marriages, ruining families, ruining the future of our children? Why? Because you are pursuing a skirt. You ruin everything. For everyone, there's destruction, there's hurt in your family. Why? Because when you want to pleasure yourself. There are children that are scattered. Why? Because you want pleasure. So we need a Joseph spirit, we need a Moses spirit, we need a Daniel spirit to inspire us to make the right choices for the land. Hallelujah. Amen. Others, they pursue and sell their soul for convenience. For convenience. Hore, you want convenient things, you want instant things. You know, there's a coach, Wakhalewa Highlands Park. His name is Joe Frickleton. He says South Africans want instant, and there's only one thing that is instant. It's instant coffee. Every other thing we work for, it takes process. And we want instant things, and says that we sell our soul. We go to and consult so that we win instantly. We come here, we want favor. We don't want to lurk. We want favor. We want to be laid hands so that favor should come our way. But I want to say to you that favor comes your way because only when you work. Because the Bible says, God blesses the work of your hands. So it is false doctrines, Bazalan, that causes us. Or instantly your account will multiply by so much. Yes, miracle happens. But miracles are that. Miracles, there are few in between. You understand? You cannot have miracles happening for everyone. That's not a miracle. It becomes a way of life. Miracle is something that is supernatural, that is set apart. And God uses miracles for purposes, Bazalan. So when you come and get favor, God looks at you. He asks Moses, what is it that you have in your hand? Even the small thing that you have, God is able to can build it up. But he wants you to go. The Bible says that in Genesis chapter 2 verse 5, that God didn't bring rain. Why? Because there was no man to do what? To till or to work the ground. Then the other thing is that we want those convenient things, not because Gadi false doctrine, but the otherwise is witchcraft fronted as traditional beliefs. I'm saying, Mazalan, it's fronted because our culture then get misused. The positive things that are there in our culture get misused. But when you look at it, what happened there was witchcraft. Why? Because you want an instant thing. Number four, others sell their souls through simple laziness. You know, Bishop used to like saying this, was a tolaganjan. And Have you looked at it, Bazaran? And I want to say to our young people that it might be that Karna Kwai Vai. Wait until you jump 40. God, you wish you could return it, you reverse it. You can say to the sun, stop. Why? Because, yeah, it moves and it moves very fast. It was only, 14 years ago that we held the World Cup. Yeah, it was only 14 years ago that we held the World Cup. Really excited. The Philip was here. But how many of us have taken advantage of that opportunity that came? How many? All we could do is to remember that goal, yeah, Mexico. That is the only thing we remember. If I was to ask you who won the World Cup 2010, no one, few of us will remember. Few will remember. We only remember that goal. So, Bazalan, we need to learn that we need to put our work in the plow. We avail ourselves to be used for service. That God should use us. That God has given us talents. God has given us abilities. God has given us assignments that we need to achieve. As it blow me, we work. Hallelujah. Amen. So the four things that I've mentioned, I want to put it to you and say, when you exchange your soul for fame and riches, when you exchange your soul for convenience, when you exchange your soul for laziness, when you exchange your soul for pleasure, I want to say to you, you might think that you have a bargain, but that's a bad bargain. That's a bad bargain. Why is it a bargain? How do you Louis Vuitton? We thought it cheap. How do you want to learn with me? It's cheaper. Eh? Or no, I get to say that yeah, that's not. Eh? Flush him or whatever Gucci, whatever thing that you want. We thought it cheap, but we bought it by barely 50%. It how would you fail? Next shop, we told about 75% less. So it means we're about taboo, Zibali. So I want to say to you, the acquiring of riches, nothing wrong with that. The acquiring of fame, nothing wrong with that. But if you pursue them for the sake of pursuing them, it's a bad bargain. If you pursue pleasure, Bazalano, we need that. We need to relax. For a moment, December boss. Ria December ring. Married 11 months, you work. So that how that December ring, you lay back. But only for a moment, not to get December in January, February. No, it can't be. It can't be. So when you do that, I want to say to you, it's a bad. It's a bad bargain. Why is it a bad bargain? One, nobody can gain the whole world. Nobody can gain the whole world. I hear someone is rumbling. Luke chapter 12, verse 20. But God said to him, you fool, this very night your soul is required of you. And now who will own what you have prepared? Who will own what you have prepared? And even the children that you have been preparing this well for, how about Abai Ravas? The curse of a second generation. They've never ended. They don't know how to end it. How to keep it. They just destroy everything. Or you are a billionaire or a trillionaire, you blow me. But there is nothing that you can own and take with. Even the very sand, you can't. You can't take. We have this tradition. How rupata sometimes rinkadia porta how rokenya tsona go boxing. Labaganka gold by Kenya Mula. Banka even sent by Kenya. You will not take it to heaven. It's only your soul that will go to heaven. They call it the great equalizer. That death is the great equalizer. How are you going to be a billionaire and a pauper? ha bo bua bula mola ko motho ware ba tswana naked bana le that ko mbontsing ba kente sticker. All of us are the great equalizer. Now they can bury you, you see. They can bury you with the most expensive casket. Battle airplane. Yeah. By bemo. Yeah. But so and the other one mamunke with a casket again a box. Yeah. Box of tomato by copans. Both of you are going to descend to the dust 6 feet under. No, Basil, I'm not saying that you should not acquire. Ne? Note this, I like this commentary. Look, listen to this commentary. It says, the rich man was not a fool because he had a lot of possessions. No. He was not a fool because he had a lot of possessions. But note this. But he was a fool because he had all the possessions and did not possess Jesus. He was a fool because he did not acknowledge that he can't take it with him. He can't take. He says, no, all I'm sorted for life. I'm sorted. But he forgot that life has two aspects. There's this life that you live in this earth, and there's this life that you live in the other side. So what you have acquired in this life, your fame, your riches, your pleasure, your convenience, can't go on the other side. You live it all here. So when you acquire, make sure that in acquiring, you acquire a relationship with Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. So he lived and prepared for the temporal and not for the eternal. For the temporal. And that's what we do, Bazalan. We have life insurance, but do we have a life assurance for our souls? That's the question. Thirdly, part of the world we gain, we can't keep. Part of the world we gain, we can't keep. What was $1,000 yesterday, today, is less. You know, there was a time where the rand was equal to the pound, no, not the pound, to the dollar. Then it became 3 rand. Today it's 19 rands for $1. So what do you used to have as a part of the world? Or now I've made it. Can I lay a pillow? When you convert it, it's no longer a pillow. It's a million. Because you can't keep it. It decays over time. It disintegrates over time. Thirdly, the world will never satisfy you. The world will never satisfy you. I give you an example of Cliff Richard. The man was rich. He was very, very rich. But he could not hold on to his riches. His riches could not satisfy him. He craved. He ended up being addicted to drugs, to lust. And realized that I need something that will satisfy my soul. That's when Jesus Christ came into the picture in his life. Note this, pleasure cannot satisfy you. Possessions cannot satisfy you. Philosophy cannot satisfy you. Why? We were made for God. God made us to know him, to love him, and to satisfy him. So when you satisfy God, God will satisfy you. When you know him, he will know you. When you live for him, he will love you. He will protect you. He will keep you. There are people God kept them without them having riches and famous, but they lived until their 90s, until their 100s. All they had was God in their lives. Hallelujah. Why is it a terrible bargain? It's a terrible bargain because losing your soul has eternal consequences. Losing your soul has eternal consequences. You cannot afford to lose your soul, for if you lose your soul, you lose all. You lose everything. And most importantly, that there is an eternal punishment awaiting you. There is an eternal punishment awaiting you if you lose your soul. If you trade your soul for those four things I've talked about, fame, riches, pleasure, convenience, laziness. When you hold on, when you exchange your soul for those kind of things, eternal punishments await you. But when you get to know Christ, that even when these things comes your way, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness, and all these things shall be added. See, when you add fame, when you add these riches, when you add pleasure, when you add convenience in Christ, you are safe. You are safe. Why? Because there's one thing that we don't understand. When we are in Christ, we are not of our own. God introduces what is called boundary. That we end up not living over. We're not overflowing. That's why when you overflow, even when you can sing overflow, that overflow has to benefit others and not yourself. That's why it says, I bless you to be a blessing. Yeah. Hallelujah. Yeah. So it's a bad bargain when you have these things. So make sure that you have Christ who saves your soul, who satisfies your soul, who leads you. But note, Bazalan, the agenda of you wanting to exchange your soul for something else is the agenda of Satan. It is Satan who wants to bring you down. The Bible describes him as a roaring lion. Seek who he could devour. He will not devour you physically. He will devour your soul. Why? Because he knows that when he devours your soul, your physicality will follow. That's why when you are not without Christ, you are wrecked. Your life becomes a wrecked life. You destroy your life. We are not safe, Bazalan. So what he does is that not only that we want to wreck your life, he's to steal, to kill, and to destroy your life. The other thing is that he wants to keep you blind. He introduces a veil of blindness in your life. That when you get lost, that no one introduces revelation into your life. That's why the Bible says the entrance of the word of God brings light to us. The devil wants to keep that light away from you. Enlightenment is not his business. Darkness, it is his business. Hallelujah. Amen. So when we look at this, we need to realize the importance of winning souls. That it is important for us to win souls, Bazalan. And that has to come at all costs. Winning souls has to come at all costs. Why? Because when we become part of God's movement to save souls, we are wise. Proverbs 11:30 says that he who wins souls is wise. So therefore, we need to win souls for God. Hallelujah. Yeah. Secondly, we need not allow the devil to make us undermine our evangelistic ministry. Bazalani, it is important that the event that is coming at GFC is an important one. It is important that it succeeds. So therefore, partake. Next week we have a Bring a Soul Sunday. Partake. The chair that you are in, let it be a chair for someone that you have invited. Now, don't worry about space. You retire for Mamali Project and other people to sort it out. We are not bring a soul. Bring a soul. I don't know what to do. But I want to challenge you, Bazalan. We should not allow. You know, one of the things that happened yesterday, and I want to say to the guys, I'm disappointed. I'm disappointed that only a remnant came for the Land Crossers Foundation activity yesterday. Where we went out to go and minister, to go in anakazo, go invite people for the stadium. But I'm thankful for those who came. You know, I was one of the people that were assigned to go Southgate together with 7 guys. One of the guys it was the first time for him to be able to do evangelism. You know, where we go and went and invited people. I want to say people are ready for us, Bazalan. And the guys, the 2 young people that we were with, they were so excited about winning people to Christ, about inviting people to Christ. So that let's not allow the devil to undermine. Okay. So how does it undermine? He undermines the evangelistic ministry by making you to be ashamed. Yeah. It's very interesting. I learned to be a salesperson yesterday, selling the most expensive, the most powerful thing on earth, the gospel. Yes, it's not easy. Yes, it's not easy, but it's doable. And it's exciting, but you should have seen us driving back. We were so excited. People were sending the ideas. You know, or no, this is what happened. You know, this young guy says, you know what, I've learned something, or I'm good in dealing with elderly people. Yeah, not target the high. He was a young man in his 20s. Not target the Batubaba Hall. And they were receptive to him. They were listening to him. All right. So on the other hand, one person was saying, you know, we learn to deal. Normally, a security guard, don't have sokori samo. You know, he gave us a tough time. I even lost it. You know, I lost it. But one thing that I learned from that event is that people will receive you. Yes, there are those who will be hard on you, but don't take it personal. It's part of sales persons. Yeah, it's part of sales. You ask the people about sales. How many of us do we drop calls when the salespeople call? And they call again and they call again. There's this one event I invited four young guys. You know, when I invited them, they looked at the pamphlet that Grace Bible Church, I'm a Muslim, and they threw it out. I was standing there, they threw it in my face. I picked it up. I approached one lady. You know, those guys left. I approached that one lady. That lady said something powerful to me. He says, how do you know that I need God? How did you know that I need God? You know? So you meet all those guys. Those guys, if they focus it on those guys, I was ashamed. But all of a sudden, I picked up this thing. I gave it to someone else. And she said, I need God. So if I was ashamed and afraid, that lady would not have met God. So let us not, Bazaran. Next week, tell your neighbor. Next week, I am bringing a soul. One of the things that you can do, Bazaran, the people in our families who have stopped coming to church, I'm hoping the guy that I spoke to yesterday is here. He was saying his father comes to church, but he and I have stopped coming to church ever since we moved here. Check them. Encourage them. You might bring your family member. Bring them. Invite them. Say, look, I'll even buy you coffee. But I'll buy you coffee. But bring them, Mazaran. Hallelujah. Why should we win soul? Do you believe there's hell? Do you believe there's hell? So if you believe there's hell, why do you allow your family members to go to hell? Why do we allow our friends to go to hell? Why do you allow our fellow people to go to hell? That's the reason why we need to win souls. So that we may deplete hell and populate heaven, Bazarani. Hallelujah. So we need to go out. We need to go out and win the lost. We need to go out and compel the people to come in. In the byways, in the highways, we need to do so. Even as we dedicate this week to praying and praying for the event, let's do so. Let's come in our numbers. Hallelujah, Bazalan. And as I close, Luke chapter 19, verse 10. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save which was lost. The Son of Man came to seek and to save which was lost. I was lost. My soul was lost. My soul was wandering. For a better part of my life, I didn't know who I was. But God, through Jesus Christ, came. The Son of Man came for me. Someone shared the gospel with me. They pursued me for some time. I ultimately surrendered. I got an invitation and I went to that youth ministry, which turned my life around. And today I stand as a witness. And I know that you can share the same testimony as me. So let's go and tell other people. Souls matter to God. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Father, we thank you. We thank you, Father, for reminding us that your souls matter to you. That there's value in the soul. Much more that you contrast it against the world. That no riches and no fame, no pleasure, no convenience can meet our soul. It is only in you that we find our being. We have our being. We find our being in you. We give you the honor and the glory and the praise. We thank you, O God. Even as we go out to win souls, Lord, throughout this week. We invite people to GFC. We make sure that we evangelize. Lord, we thank you for those opportunities. With our head bowed and our eyes closed, you might be here and you said, Muruti, my soul is lost. I do not know where I belong. I seem to have sold my soul to riches, to fame, to pleasure, and to convenience. And I want to come back to God. I want my soul not to be lost for eternity. I want it to be secure. I want to say to you, if that's you, come to Jesus. Jesus is the only person. You were created by God. You were created for God. You are there to serve God. All you need to do is to surrender your life. Raise your hand so that we can pray together with you. That's all that you need to do. Raise your hand so that we can pray together with you. If you say, I want Jesus Christ to be the Lord and the Savior of my life, thank you for that hand. Hands are going everywhere. Thank you for that hand. Thank you for that hand. Don't leave this moment. This is a moment of importance. Take care of the most expensive element in your being your soul. Surrender it to God, and God will keep it. He will not only keep it in this life, he's going to keep it into the life to come. Make sure that you don't spend your life in eternity damnation, in eternity punishment, but you spend it in the presence of God. Can I ask all the people that have raised their hands to stand up? Stand up. Let's pray with you. Stand up. Don't be afraid. Don't be shy. Take the courage. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You might be in the dome. You might be back in the foyer. Stand up. It might be that you have not raised your hand, but you want to join these people and stand up. I welcome you. Stand up. Stand up. Don't be afraid. Thank you for the people that are standing up. Hallelujah. Let's give them a round of applause. Let's give them a round of applause. And now I want you to do the last step. Come and meet me in the front, for I want to pray with you. Come, run to the front. Walk to the front. Walk to the front. Walk to the front. Walk to the front.